We now turn to the reading of Holy Scripture, which is this evening from Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, we're going to read the first 29 verses. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gates of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "O, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. We read that far. Now we turn to our text, which is found in Luke 17, verse 32. Just three words there, which three words will be the theme for the sermon, remember Lot's wife. But I want also to read with you verse 31, for that is what is being explained. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, although a very short verse in the Holy Scriptures, it clearly is a very important and significant word from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's evident in the first place from the fact that this little verse belongs to a rather lengthy instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ regarding his return and the end of all things. That instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ found here and elsewhere in Scripture, particularly Matthew 24, was prompted by a question of the Pharisees, when should the kingdom of God come? In response to that question of the Pharisees, our Lord Jesus Christ begins by first of all correcting a tremendous error they had about the kingdom of heaven, namely that the kingdom was a physical kingdom, that kingdom was observed by physical eyes, and it came about by physical activity of men. Over against that, our Lord Jesus Christ corrects them by teaching that the kingdom is spiritual. It is found within you. And it is observed not with physical eyes, but rather the eyes of faith. And it comes about not by the physical activity of men, but it comes about by our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he calls the Son of Man. The Lord also teaches, when he warns those who are in his audience not to seek any other kingdom but that spiritual kingdom, that kingdom which is found in his body and he as its head. He teaches that that kingdom comes about very suddenly in his return. It comes about in all the world, not just one locality, and it comes by judgment. He also teaches that before it comes, he must suffer and die. The importance of this text of our Lord Jesus Christ is also evident when you see that it's rather a unique warning. This is the only place in Scripture where we read of such a mention of Lot's wife. This mention, of course, belongs to two other historical events that our Lord uses to illustrate the coming of his kingdom and its nature. Those two events are the flood at the time of Noah and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time of Lot. And these two events are found frequently in the Holy Scriptures. Noah is mentioned also in Matthew 24, its parallel, and 1 Peter 3 and 2 Peter 2 and Hebrews 11. And you will find Lot and the destruction of Sodom mentioned in such places as Ezekiel 16, Matthew 11, and Jude chapter 1. But nowhere will you find Lot's wife mentioned except in the historical narrative that we read. Besides that, the importance of this particular text is also brought out when you consider that it's rather unexpected. It belongs not simply to instruction that the Lord was giving to the Pharisees or in response to them, but it comes specifically after the Lord had left off speaking to the Pharisees directly, and he turned to his disciples and gave them instruction about his suffering and death, and this instruction was spoken directly to them. That makes it somewhat unexpected, because you would think that our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking now directly to his disciples, would make mention, especially with regard to his coming and his return and his suffering and his death and the grace revealed in them, that he would say, remember Lot. Lot is the outstanding example of God's grace shown to the undeserving. So it is unexpected, therefore, when our Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, not remember Lot, but remember Lot's wife. Now, the specific purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in giving this instruction is to illustrate the specific warning that Jesus gave in verse 31. It is related to the more general instruction about the end of time, and it is related, of course, to the warnings with regard to that coming of Jesus Christ and his return to watch and to pray, but specifically it has to do with the example of that particular warning. In general, we may say that that warning to not come down from the housetop for one's stuff or to leave the field and return home for one's stuff generally is a warning to live antithetically in the world. It is a warning to love not the world and the things in the world, so that those things and this world become our idols, so that when Jesus comes, in whatever form he comes, and when he comes, that we are not prepared to receive him or to leave with him because we love our stuff and we love this world. Therefore, this text also has application not only with regard to the coming of Christ at the end of the world, but our everyday life. Inasmuch as Jesus comes to us, and Jesus is with us, and Jesus calls us to life of repentance and obedience. Consider with me then this evening this text under the theme, Remember Lot's Wife. We remember, first of all, what? Then we remember how, and then we remember why. Remember is the main admonition of this text. Remember, therefore, is obviously a very important activity. The Bible calls us in many places to remember and remember many things of great importance. We are told to remember the covenant, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We're called to remember Jesus Christ and remember his word. Remember that God is our creator in the days of our youth. Remembering is essentially an activity of faith that has two parts to it, two aspects to it. Remembering always involves, first of all, to consider, to know and to consider, to meditate upon what Scripture teaches, what the Word of God teaches about a particular subject. And then secondly, remembering involves patterning one's behavior or governing one's behavior wisely and in harmony with what the Scripture teaches about that. And that's what we're called to do here with regard to Lot's wife. So we remember in the first place who Lot's wife was. Lot's wife, obviously, was someone married to Lot. Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham. Likely, Lot's wife was a Canaanite, and even more likely, from Sodom, for there is no mention of Lot having a wife when he comes to Canaan with Abraham, or when Abraham and Lot go down to Egypt to flee the famine. Only here is there mention of that wife. In fact, we don't even read about Lot's wife when he and Abraham separate and Lot decides to take the plain of Sodom as his dwelling place and pitches his tent toward Sodom. She apparently was a woman with whom Lot had a faithful, loving relationship. We know that they had two daughters together who successfully married. She was with Lot in his home when the angels come, and she is with Lot when they flee. She welcomed those men into her home and served them and welcomed them. Nevertheless, she was a woman that Lot should have never married. Lot's marriage to her was an act of treason in the covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. She was a Canaanite, so that this marriage was an unholy union before one who was a child of God. She was a cursed daughter of Canaan, of which the destruction of Sodom was only the first salvo of God's judgment upon. What Lot should have done as a man of faith is followed the lead of Abraham and sought a wife from the daughters of Seth, but he had not. We also remember what she did, of course, in this event and what happened to her. What happened to her is that when Lot is delivered from the city of Sodom, and she flees with him, she nevertheless lags behind him and looks back. And God's judgment upon her is that she turns into a pillar of salt. The angels had come to Lot, and they had come to tell him to gather his family because God was going to use them to destroy that city and all the other cities in the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and all the vegetation in that plain. Lot had gone out to speak to his sons-in-law, but they refused and even mocked him at the urging of the angels. At sunrise, Lot nevertheless continues to dawdle, and the angels must forcibly take Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand and lead them outside the city, where they are given strict instructions to flee with haste through the valley without looking back. And after Lot negotiates, not fleeing to the mountains but into the city, they are given permission to do so. Lot's wife, we read, however, looks back from behind Lot and becomes a pillar of salt, verse 26 of Genesis 19. Important to remembering Lot's wife is also that we do not misunderstand her behavior and what she did. The idea of that phrase in the Hebrew of the Old Testament is not that she was clasping her husband's hand and close behind him and simply glanced back, and because of that, while even holding Lot's hand, she turns into a pillar of salt to the horror of her husband. Rather, the idea is that she was turned into a pillar of salt because she lagged far behind Lot. She was turned into a pillar of salt because she never even got near Zoar, but had remained in the valley. And the reason is because she was continually stopping to look back, and did so not with mere curiosity and what might happen or what was going on, but with longing. That's evident not only from the language of the Old Testament, but how Jesus uses this example to to illustrate his teaching that in the day in which he comes, he which is on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. She is an illustration of that. She turned back to get her stuff. She lagged behind so that she could go get her belongings and return to the place from which she had come. That this is the case is also evident from the very judgment that fell upon her. God's judgment upon Lot's wife was not a separate individual judgment, but the same judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the plain, namely that of fire and brimstone. The idea is that God's judgment, the very same judgment that fell upon that place, the very same judgment that God had warned would come upon those citizens, and for which reason God had urged Lot and his wife and his daughters to flee with haste and not turn back, that same judgment fell upon her. We also must remember what this event represents and what Lot's wife represents spiritually. That is, to remember what Sodom and that area and God's destruction of it and Lot's wife and her judgment is a picture of. Spiritually, the judgment of God upon Sodom represents God's judgment of the entire world at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's evident even from that passage of Scripture in verse 29, where the Lord compares that to his own coming. It is a picture of God's judgment upon the world of reprobate and unrepentant sinners generally. It echoes such passages as Psalm 11, verse 6, upon the wicked, God shall rain fire and brimstone, and this shall be the portion of their cup. Or 2 Peter 2, verse 6, it is an example of those that thereafter shall live ungodly and the judgment that awaits them. But even more specifically, it is a picture of the judgment of God, the hellish judgment of God in the day of Jesus Christ upon the sin of fornication, and particularly the sin of homosexuality. That's brought out clearly in the book of Jude, chapter 7, or 1, verse 7, where it's set forth as an example of the suffering, the vengeance of eternal fire upon those who give themselves over to fornication and giving themselves over to strange flesh. That judgment fell upon Lot's wife. Lot's wife represents a member of the visible church who perishes under that judgment of God due to their unbelief. That's what she represents. That's evident when she herself is destroyed by the same judgment of Sodom. God's judgment upon the unbelieving and unrepentant world, not only at the flood, but as pictured here, which represents God's judgment upon the world, that fell on her. That's evident when she refused to believe the promise and the warning of God's angels, his mighty angels. Picture of those who refuse to heed God's word delivered by his angels with regard to his coming, and her being turned into a pillar of salt is not any judgment, but it's a biblical sign, which, like being hung on a tree, was a sign of being accursed of God. Lot's wife is an example of what Jesus said was seed that is sown among the thorns of those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering into their heart choke that word, so that it is unfruitful. The unbelief at the promises of God and preference for the riches of this world, that's what she represents. And that she is an enduring memorial to all of God's judgment upon all who live in such unbelief apart from faith in Jesus Christ. She is an enduring memorial even to us of the importance of living by faith in God's promise. And thus Jesus calls even us to remember this one woman so that we likewise do not return back to spiritual Sodom, out of which we have been called by the Holy Gospel unto Jesus Christ, into which we have been called. Now, how are we specifically to remember Lot's wife? How now do we apply what we have learned from Holy Scripture and what it means spiritually? In brief, we may say, by living in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which is exemplified in small part by Lot and certainly by Abraham, especially important when you remember that even Lot's salvation and deliverance from that city was founded upon God's covenant with Abraham. And therefore, to not live in the unbelief that's exemplified by Lot's wife. Now, there's obviously more here than simply that Lot's wife was an idolater who loved her possessions and her place and whatever she had in Sodom more than what the Lord had given and promised, namely his kingdom. Must not be overlooked, of course, that this is the precise behavior Jesus is warning about. This is the specific application of the text. Basically, the sin of idolatry. Lot's wife was an idolater. She loved the world. She loved her possessions. She loved her place there in Sodom more than the kingdom of God. She loved the wicked behavior of Sodom more than the holy behavior of God's kingdom. She preferred to die with the ungodly in hell rather than live with the godly in heaven. So then when the Lord comes in judgment, many will do likewise. The Lord calls us to live out of this world, calls us out of this world, away from this world. And the Lord warns us with this warning because nevertheless we have many possessions in this world. We have a place in this world, a home in this world, a life in this world. And thus also the Lord comes to us. He calls us out of it. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to give ourselves unto him. And yet there are those like Lot's wife who are unwilling, unable. They turn back and they turn away in the day of the Lord. It is an important application all by itself. One that is obvious on the face of it from what our Lord says and how he illustrates that warning. Nevertheless, the Lord has more in mind. We must ask ourselves the question, how is it that this happened to Lot's wife, one married to a believer such as Lot? How is it that she is taken by the hand of angels herself, brought outside of the city, flees, seemingly in obedience, and yet turns back? You have to understand the explanation is due in part to what often explains similar behavior of those who belong externally to the covenant and are attached in some physical way to that covenant, namely due to the sin of presumption. the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption is exactly that, that one believes, we might say, a false faith, of course, not a true faith, that merely one's external place or connection to the covenant or the people of the covenant will save them and deliver them. Lot's wife assumed something. She assumed that if she simply kept close enough to Lot and maintained some sort of physical connection of Lot, then she would be saved from that destruction of Sodom if she believed it was ever coming at all. Undoubtedly, she had heard the gospel in some form from righteous Lot, whose righteous soul was being vexed in that city. Indeed, she had heard that word in a form even to the angels and in that word of warning to the ungodly men of Sodom. Undoubtedly, she recognized that Lot occupied some sort of privileged place, some place of great blessing from God. Perhaps that's even why she married him. Perhaps she recognized that the Lord in some way had caused him to prosper there, even as a foreigner and a stranger there. Perhaps she even considered that false belief of hers, that false faith confirmed by the fact that God had sent angels to warn and deliver Lot from his judgment, or confirmed that false faith from the fact that her husband had been delivered from much already. He had been delivered from that mob at the door by a miracle of these angels, and the angels had taken his hand and her hand from that place. One reason Jesus mentions this, not simply to his disciples, but in the hearing of the Pharisees, because that it was the essential error of the Pharisees. They believed that they would be saved from the judgments of God coming upon the ungodly, if they were coming at all, simply because they were the physical children of Abraham, simply because they occupied an important and prestigious place as leaders in the house of Israel, because in some sense they believed in a Messiah and they looked for a Messiah. But many, many of them are going to perish because they turn back, like Lot's wife. So today, there is such behavior. Members believe that simply because of their physical connection to the church, their physical connection to the people of God, some physical connection to the world, that they shall be saved and delivered in the day of judgment simply because they are born of believing parents or have a godly husband or a wife, simply because they are baptized and partake of the Lord's Supper, simply because they hear with their physical ears the covenant promises of God that God saves believers and their seed. Simply because they hear the word of God about salvation, and that seems in some sense good to them, that they shall be saved and delivered from the judgments of God. This sin of presumption leads to the sin of tempting God, that too belong to the behavior of Lot's wife. Tempting God, we may say, is the sin of using the forbearance and the mercy and the grace of God, of using the long-suffering of God as an excuse not to repent and obey him. It's the sin of imagining that when God calls us to faith and repentance, today we have until tomorrow to respond. It's the sin of assuming that because God does not immediately judge us at the beginning of some sin, we may wallow in that sin and remain in that sin without consequence. If we hear his word once, we'll have opportunity to hear it a second time. That's the sin of tempting God that follows from the sin of presumption. And the wickedness of it is that it's based on the fact that God is indeed very gracious, that God is long-suffering. Lot's wife had seen that gracious mercy and long-suffering of God toward Lot. She had observed even the forbearance of God toward Sodom. She had witnessed the gross increase and the wickedness and the development of sin by Sodom over many, many years without God destroying them in their judgment, and assumed it would simply remain that way. Along with Lot, she had seemingly been richly blessed by God in that living, in living in that wicked city without apparent any judgment of God. In fact, even when she dawdled, and they dawdled earlier in the AM, she saw God's grace and mercy when the angels took them by the hand and led them out of the city, and when they allow Lot to go to the city of Zoar rather than to the mountains, but then use that as an excuse to turn back and do the opposite of what one is told. This is the sin of a young person who says it's okay to smoke that joint. It's okay to inject that drug. It's okay to attend that party to drink and date that girl of Sodom, because there's still time to break it off. There's still time to stop, and I'll be able to do it. This is the sin of an individual who says, well, my parents did it, or my friends did it, and things seem fine with them. This is the sin when we say to ourselves, well, my doing this isn't nearly so bad as those people over there doing that. What I'm doing over here isn't nearly as bad as those people over there in the world that are doing that. And God doesn't seem to be doing anything with them. God isn't judging them. So it's okay even to return to it. This is the sin of a member who says, look, the angels were certainly near and watching over me when I crashed my car drunk, when I almost got that girl pregnant, when I almost got caught watching that pornography video. So it must be okay to return to it. This is what we're doing when, as parents, we say about our kids, well, okay, that's just a stage. They'll grow out of it. This is a sin of an individual who says, well, the elders received my confession the first time, they'll receive it the second time, so I can return to what I'm doing. The seriousness of such behavior is evident in what happened to Lot's wife. The seriousness of this is that this is the sin of hardening. Of hardening in sin, which leads to destruction, not repentance and deliverance. The ultimate reason that Lot's wife turned back is that she simply loved her sin. She loved Sodom, and she loved her sin and loved Sodom more than the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God. No, the reason need not be necessarily that Lot's wife actually participated in the sins of Sodom. We don't know that for a fact. But she at least minimized them. She at least did not want to suffer by speaking out against them as Lot did and was threatened for. She at least took some pleasure in them. She was at least blind to the wickedness of the men of Sodom attempting to defile the angels, blind to the wickedness of her daughters marrying the men of Sodom, minimized the threat that was made to her own husband by Sodom, and yet wanted to return to it. You have to ask yourself, how could she do that? And the answer is because she at least minimized and was blind to what was going on in that city and was willing to return to it. This is essentially what we do, beloved people of God, when we say to ourselves, well, it's just a little fun, not sin. It's just words. I didn't mean it. It's just a little profanity. It's just a little fornication there in that song or in that movie. I'll watch it anyway. It's just porn. It's not a fornication. It's just verbal abuse, not physical abuse. It's just a few beers, not a case. It's just one service, not a whole Sunday. She's not a member yet, but hopefully one day she will be a member. This is the judgment of God that Scripture calls hardening. And Lightlock, like Lot's wife, it leads not to repentance. It leads not to life, but it leads to more sin and utter destruction. It has regard not only to little sins, but big sins. In fact, this is how little sins become big sins. This is how minor sins become major sins. This is how trying something becomes an addiction. This is how members become ensnared in such things, so that they're always turning back. That's why today, beloved, in institutions that claim to be churches of our Lord Jesus Christ, these very sins of Sodom now are watched for pleasure, are considered loving relationships and not homosexuality. You have to ask yourself, how does that happen? And the answer is because the church did not heed the warning of our Lord Jesus Christ to remember Lot's wife. Now compare her to her husband Lot. He was a righteous man. We know that because the Bible tells us so. Tells us that he saw and heard those things too. Those unlawful deeds of Sodom, and they vexed his righteous soul. He hated the sin of Sodom as offensive to God and offensive to his neighbor. And that moves him not only to protect those angels, but to flee from that sin to the refuge that God had pointed out to him by the angel. He hated the sin of his own soul and believed that only God could make him righteous and holy and right as he wanted to be. So why now remember all these things? Why does God, through Jesus Christ, give us that short little instruction to remember Lot's wife? Not just remember Lot, but Lot's wife. In the first place, because, well, let's put it this way. In the first place, so that such unbelieving members who are associated externally with the church and the covenant of God are without excuse in the judgment of God. If Lot's wife is judged with the judgment of hellfire, that being turned into a pillar of salt represents, then she is without excuse, utterly without excuse. Don't forget, that's one reason the Lord cites this instruction. In the hearing of the Pharisees, they are going to utterly ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to show that not only when they kill the Lord of glory and nail him to the cross, despising his righteousness and his holiness and all he represents, but do so in utter hatred. But don't forget, the Lord says this also in the hearing of one Judas Iscariot, who betrays our Lord Jesus Christ and also did not heed this instruction. And if so, if this should happen, then that individual may not, I repeat, may not blame God, may not blame our Lord Jesus Christ, may not blame the efficacy of the grace of God. The problem is not the gospel. The problem is not the word. The problem is not the grace or election of God. The problem lies with themselves, according to the canons 3:4, Article 9. And the problem in themselves is this, that their so-called faith is not based on the living word of God, but on their own presumptions. And their actions are not motivated by faith and the grace of God and the long-suffering of God, but rather the grace and the long-suffering of God are used as an excuse for inaction. Secondly, we remember this because it is a means by which the Lord Jesus Christ strengthens the faith of his children. Means to strengthen faith and work the obedience of faith in the hearts of the righteous who are vexed by sin. It's really another reason why Jesus Christ says this to his disciples and says, not now remember Lot, but remember Lot's wife. Of course, Lot is worth remembering. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that not one of a single one of his children who love him and believe in him can remember Lot's wife without remembering Lot, the man she is married to. And as soon as one remembers Lot, one remembers that Lot is the outstanding example in the Old Testament of the unconditional, unmerited, particular, effectual grace of God in salvation. Because that man deserved to be destroyed in Sodom for his foolishness of pitching his tent toward that wicked city, for his foolishness in moving there and allowing his daughters to marry those men, and bargaining with the angels of God, and bargaining with the men of Sodom with regard to his own daughters, and his own delays in fleeing. What sin? What sin on the part of Lot? Makes it clear that Lot did not have a righteous soul that was vexed of sin because he made it so. Makes clear that Lot did not flee Sodom naturally. He wasn't even saved because he fled to Zoar. Rather, the fact that he believed and that he obeyed God is wholly to be ascribed to God, who chose him in eternity, who conferred upon him the gift of faith, who conferred upon him the gift of repentance, and rescued him from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God and of his own dear Son. That too is the canons, Head 3-4, Article 10. But even then, Jesus Christ, who loves us so, and he knows us so, knows there's still a danger. There's a threat even to his disciples that we use that grace, that wonderful grace of God, as an excuse to continue loving the world and the things in the world. So our Lord warns us tonight, warns all of us who have the same faith as Lot and of Abraham, to heed his instruction, to turn to the angel of God, Jesus Christ, for our deliverance. And when we do, we will also be thankful, won't we? Because we recognize that by nature, according to our birth, according to who we are as persons and individuals, we are just like Lot's wife. And that, like Lot, we are saved only by the grace of God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy grace and for thy mercy and for thy long suffering toward us sinners who, it seems, are continually turning back toward our stuff and our possessions, turning back toward the sins of Sodom. This is who we are and who we would be and continue to be if it were not for thy grace, even the grace of thy word shown unto us. We pray, Father, that by that same grace we may heed thy word. We may remember not only Lot's wife, but Lot, and especially our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes in judgment, who comes to destroy all wickedness and all sin and sinners, and even this present creation. Give us grace so that therefore we may watch and pray. And watching and praying may live in love with our face toward thee, anticipating thy coming, and that in the day of thy coming, whether it be in the holy gospel or the day of our death, or perhaps even we shall see thee come again in glory, we do not return. We do not return to this world, but we follow thee. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.